Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneck and I, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
Good evening. This is Tiffany with Redneck and I's and Women of Redneck and I's coming live to you from East Liverpool, Ohio. And I know we're coming on a little bit later today, only for the fact I got tied up with some other things and didn't get dinner over with quick enough. So, you know, that's how it is being, you know, having home time, I should say. And we all know how things can change on the matter of minutes and, you know, nothing ever goes according to plan, right? So, you know, what's our slogan with Redneck and I's? When the job's still got to be done, you got to redneck and I's. So the job still had to be done. So I redneck and I's and improvised and just scheduled for 7:30. So not a big issue because, you know, we are all just here hanging out, just talking anything we can about anything. And I am actually sitting here watching out my window and actually watching a cat right now chase a fly in the window. We have a storm coming through, so I'm hoping this stays and we are good for a while. If we start having too many issues, then, you know, naturally, safety comes first. We're going to shut it down. So we will see how things go. But as of right now, we got a little bit of wind. They're calling for high wind. So let's just pray that we keep our lights on. We woke up the other morning at, you know, I think it was 4:30 or so. No power. None. It was muggy in the house, so it's kind of, you know, sucky, but hey, we get through it. We actually, you know, kind of went back to sleep and woke up and the power was back on. So, but right now there is wind here, so we're dealing with that. But, so I have nothing really to talk about this week. We did have one of our members, Holly. She had an incident, and she had posted it on her Facebook, and I will see if I can find it real quick. She was actually on the road, and she witnessed a motorcyclist come off an exit to where it hit a car and wrecked, and she was there with the gentleman and was helping him and, you know, kind of keep him comfortable until the ambulance and everything arrived. She was going to come on tonight and talk to us about that and let us know, you know, what happened at her words and how it was for her, you know, because anybody that's ever been around any type of wreck, whether it be big trucks, cars, or anything along those lines, it's always kind of traumatic, you know. You have to live with that, especially if somebody that is involved in the crash ends up losing their life. That makes it even worse because now you got that, you know, weighing on your conscience and knowing, you know, what could I have done to, you know, save or help the situation. But what she posted, this was on May 30th. She says, "Today I was reminded just how quickly life can change. One minute I was watching a young man riding his motorcycle, enjoying his day, and getting out on the highway, and in a split second, I watched him contact a car and bounce and roll into the fence and weeds on the shoulder. I stopped as this happened. Right in front of me, the rider was thrown from the bike, and at first, I wasn't sure what I was walking up on, but I couldn't do nothing. As I approached, I saw he was still breathing. He had a pulse, but barely. He's in bad shape. As I pulled the weeds out of his face, I said a prayer and held his hand, letting him know he was not alone and help was on the way. I could hear the ambulance at this point. I don't know if he will make it, but he was breathing in the ambulance. I did for him what I could. And if it was his time, at least I know he wasn't alone laying in the weeds. Praying to this young man and his family and friends. This truly has shaken me to the core." And she has pictures of the bike and stuff like that. But she said she does have a video of this on her dash cam. So I'm, you know, interested to see the video. but I don't know, because, you know, Greg and I do have bikes, and Ed has a bike, and, you know, just yesterday, Greg and I took our bikes and rode over to my dad's. I mean, we didn't go that far, but because my dad lives about 4 miles from here, and we rode over there, and about a mile and a half, maybe less, maybe more, from our house, we were coming up, and there's a crossroads. Well, this pickup, not only did it pull out in front of Greg, it also pulled out in front of another pickup coming the opposite way. You know, and I was behind Greg, and I seen this, and I just kind of, you know, cringed for a minute. But, you know, Greg was paying attention and seeing it and was ready for it. And, you know, luckily nobody was injured, but it's just something that simple. If that guy may never even seen Greg that pulled out and darted across the road. I don't know, because I didn't ask Greg if he actually, you know, seen the guy look at him or what, because he could have not seen him and just figured, okay, there's nobody there. He's just pulling out in front of the other pickup. But it's something as simple as that and as quick as that, things can happen in a blink of an eye, just like Holly said in her statement when she, you know, talked about this just a few minutes ago or wrote about it. You know, and I spoke to her after this about it, and, you know, she said it was, you know, heavily weighing on her after what happened. He says she's been Googling, trying to find out, you know, if the young man survived or what, and so far she hasn't found anything out. So if you guys know of anything, I'm not even sure where it was because she didn't state it. So, you know, if you heard anything, we'll find out from Holly. But unfortunately, she will not be on with us tonight because she did have something, you know, with her family that came up that, you know, she's not at liberty to talk about at this point in time. So we'll just, you know, say a little prayer for her and keep her in our thoughts and prayers as we do all of our trucking buddies, because you just never know what will happen next. So, okay, let's see. So that's just something I wanted to talk a little bit about, because it kind of, you know, now that it's getting the time and season and the weather is perfect for riding, it does make it hard, and little things like that, just something that quick can happen. So keep that in mind. But you guys probably all seen it, because of course I've seen it on Facebook. You know, we find a lot of stuff on Facebook. There was a female driver that drove her truck into, and I've lost the article. I thought I saved it or shared it. Let me check and see. But she drove her truck into her boyfriend's house trailer. Well, she's facing jail time now, naturally. I don't believe that she injured him, but that is not a for sure thing, because I'm not really sure. But it just kind of threw me when I, you know, seen that. I was like, seriously? Wow. But when I find articles like this, I like to share them on my Facebook, because that way I can find them. Then again, you know, there's some of those times that you just can't find them because you lose them. I think that's what happened with this one. I think I've actually have lost her. Maybe I did not even save it, which is also a possibility too. But I just thought it was kind of funny. I'm thinking, shoo, you know, and now, you know, she's done lost her job for sure. And now she's actually, you know, waiting on trial for it. So, okay, here's something you guys may have heard, you know, because we don't have to deal with the DEF. So this is taking us back out of the whole driving over people's houses or trying to run over boyfriends or husbands or wives and with a truck. A friend of mine shared this for me. Her ex-husband was a driver once upon a time, and he probably still is. I don't know. She don't talk about him. But it is about the DPF. It says, just so this is shareable and doesn't get removed as fast as time. And this was posted on the 24th of May, and it's a pretty lengthy, you know, thing. So I'm going to read over it. It says, diesel peeps, do you know that what DPF fluid is? It's diesel exhaust fluid, which us truck drivers know that. Every diesel truck that has been made since 2010 is required to use it. It's a product made of 67% of urea fertilizer and 33% distilled water. Every diesel truck you see driving down the road today has to have this product to drive. Not every truck, and we know that, because there's ways around that, and there's also older trucks that you don't have to use that. The engine won't start without it. There are regulators inside the engine that makes the DEF,
and the diesel to reduce diesel emissions. That's the purpose of the DEF. And this is also some of the things that Hattie with DPF Regeneration cleans and takes care of. Okay, right now Russia is the largest exporter of urea by a wide margin. Equator, I think I said that right, don't quote me, is second. Egypt and China are tied for third. Both Russia and China have decided to no longer export urea. On top of that, India is the largest manufacturer of urea in the world, even though we consume most of what they make. What little they would export, what they no longer do, they are now stopping the exploration of any and all urea minus a deal that was just cut with Sri Lanka. Okay, it says, what does this mean for you and me? Well, first, the United States imports most of the urea fertilizer. We are the third largest importer in the entire world. Imagine that, because there's a lot of stuff that we import that we could probably do here, and nobody does. Okay, we depend on other countries to eat, drive, and ship our products. Wasn't I just saying that? Look, we have plenty of fuel reserves here, and we still get our stuff elsewhere. Gotta love some of the administration. Okay, secondly, Flying J is the largest service provider for truckers around the United States. I'm sure you've seen their massive gas stations when traveling around the country. Flying J gets 70% of the DEF load from shipments via Union Pacific Railroad. UP has single users access to the fertilizer plants that urea and DEF load comes from. No other rail provider has access to these distribution points. This means Flying J can't just go around Union Pacific, and Union Pacific is in charge for a reason I'm going to mention in a few paragraphs. Flying J provides 30% of all DEF consumed in the United States. UP has told Flying J to Union Pacific, I should say that. Union Pacific has told Flying J to reduce their shipments by a whopping 50%. And if they do not comply, then they can be completely embargoed. That would, in effect, bankrupt Flying J. This means that 15% of all DEF consumed by truckers in the U.S. is no longer available at the largest travel service center for the entire trucking industry. Rome rotted from the inside out. It was easily invaded because it was occupied with internal problems. It appears we have discovered the trigger, okay? DEF fluid, if this holds up, DEF shortages will be catalytic that causes food shortages coming months. If those trucks don't have it, then they can't deliver it, okay? Not only is there a shortage of fertilizer to grow crops in drought-stricken states, see Kansas drop in wheat production for 2022. But now it looks like unless the federal government intervenes via the Defense Production Act, which I am no longer confident they will, there is going to be an absolute massive shortage of trucking in the coming months. Okay, there simply isn't going to be DEF fluid sufficient to keep the engines running and moving. Home Depot is now limiting the amount of DEF you can buy in their stores. I would think long and hard about decisions you are making right now, where you live, what you spend your money on, how you prepare. This is so real that the CEO of Flying J, Shamik Kanar, was summoned to Surface Transport Board hearing to give them all this info. From what I'm reading, BlackRock is the majority shareholder of the Union Pacific Railroad. How is this important? America's biggest fertilizer producer is CF Industries. Okay. Their largest shareholder is, ready for this, BlackRock. BlackRock controls the fertilizer industry in the U.S., and Union Pacific has exclusive rights to distribute distribution points of fertilizer. Urea is fertilizer. Flying J needs urea for DPF. BlackRock is controlling everything. The chairman of BlackRock Investment Institute is Tom Dolian, President Obama's former national security advisor. Tom Dolian's brother, Mike Dolian, is a senior advisor for Joe Biden. Oh, Lord. Now this is starting to come together. Tom Dolian's wife, Catherine Russell, is a White House personal director. Tom Dolian's daughter, Sarah Dolian, who has graduated college in 2019, now works for the White House National Security Council. Seriously? It appears that BlackRock is spearheading the dismantling of the U.S. system on behalf of the globalists. And the first domino they are pushing over in is the energy sector. They're using DEF to get the party started. This is one sector of the biggest downfalls in political repercussions this country has ever faced. Now, this just makes me think, because I was actually over at Verizon yesterday and was picking up a tablet and stuff. But anyways, I was there and I ran across my cousin. And the first thing she asked me, she's like, you know, of course, you know, hugs and loves and everything else. And she's like, hey, since, you know, I was going to call you, but my phone broke. And can you tell me anything that's going on? Are we having a diesel shortage and a food shortage? Should I start stocking up on food now? And I told her, I said, you know, I said, with the government right now and the price of fuel, I said, if you can get food that will sustain you, I said, non-perishable stuff, it would be advisable to do that now because it's only going to get worse, the prices are. So they're going to go higher. And with the DEF going to be unlimited resources, there's going to be a lot of companies that are a lot of trucks that aren't going to be running because of that. And a lot of these freight, you know, I don't want to say a lot of, but there's a majority of freight companies and even, you know, companies that actually do nothing but move food, most of them want newer trucks. And then in turn, with newer trucks, sorry, I got my window open. It's always cold down here in our office. But with the newer trucks, they have to have the DEF, okay? So if you have the means to do so, my suggestion, and you can ask the, you know, any of our guys that's been to our house and even Kelly that's been here, I don't want to say that I stockpile stuff, but I do have a enough food and stuff in the house in order to, you know, we can survive. I don't technically need to go and buy food all the time because we do have, you know, stuff to get by. The guys call it the mini Walmart. So anyways, besides that, so that is just something, my suggestion to you is start looking into getting bigger freezers if you need to and start getting some of the meat because the prices are going to go up. If you can buy straight from a farm, you know, yeah, it's going to be a little bit more expensive because you're buying either a half a beef, half a pig, you know, whatever, or even a whole one, it is going to be more. But even that, with that being said, we did that last year off my one nephew from the fair. And yes, we paid way more for this steer than we needed to because I could have got it cheaper straight from, you know, the farm. But when we did that, that was the best, you know, decision that we could have made. Yes, it was expensive at the time, but you know what? I have enough beef in there to last us for a while. And this fall, we're going to do the same thing with a pig and put a pig in there because the prices of the stuff is getting crazy. Have you actually went out and tried finding chicken sometimes? Chicken was always, my dad always called it the yard bird, which I think a lot of people do. But chicken is usually one of the cheapest meats that you can buy. And it's like stupid price now. And, you know, we like chicken, and I'm a big chicken eater. I like it. But it's like now getting to the point where you hate to go spend, you know, you get four chicken breasts, and it's like $10. It's like, seriously? I used to get four chicken breasts for, you know, even bigger packages of chicken for less than that. So the prices of everything, like we've said before, is going up. And it all trickles down to the fuel prices. And the fuel prices are pushing the prices of everything else. So we have to remember that is actually what is pushing us to go to these different prices. What happened? I know you guys on Facebook can hear me, but oh, there we go. My switchboard wasn't working on, you know, a Redneck Eyes radio for some reason. I pulled it up to make sure I didn't have no callers waiting, and next thing you know, bam, it wasn't there. It was telling me our next episode wasn't for, you know, a half hour. I'm thinking, wait a minute, no. Okay. Technical issues, I said. You never know how those go. So it is kind of crazy, the prices of stuff. I mean, you guys have seen the prices out there of fuel more than I do because, you know, as y'all know, I'm not out on the road anymore. And Greg has been home for a couple of weeks. I don't know, 2 weeks now, I think. And, you know, so we don't see the prices as much as we used to. Because when he was with the other company and driving and was gone all the time, he's seen all the different places for, you know, fuel pricing. So, okay. On to another thing. I don't want to, I'm going to move this here so I can actually read it. Okay, I did find something I wanted to talk to you guys about, tell you about. Log back in here, and this is, you know, coming down to prices at stores. Now this one here, this is actually a Walmart in Arizona, okay? And the headline for this was pretty funny. I actually had the chuckle when I first looked at it and seen it, but okay, hold on. All right, this is, and I know I'm not gonna be looking at the screen because I kind of pulled it off and I already had it saved on my other laptop. It says, it's from CDL Life. Arizona Walmart closed until further notice after truck driver intentionally crashes into store. I guess he didn't like the prices of stuff either, right? Okay. A truck driver was arrested early Wednesday morning after crashing into Walmart store in Arizona, according to local police. Okay. Oof, must be bad. People are out on motorcycles today, and it's raining. It's storming, I should say. Okay, police respond to a Walmart located at 100 White Park Drive in Nogales, Arizona at 3:20 a.m. on June 1st. Let me see if I can move this around here so I don't have to be looking away. Ah, there we go. Whoops. Go back down. Okay. In reference to a semi-truck that intentionally collided into the front of Walmart. It's like crazy, right? Okay. And the pictures of this, and I will share it to Facebook so you guys can see it. Because I'm not going to try showing you here because it's not the easiest thing to do on my tablet. It says no injuries were reported, but the Nogales Police Department arrested New Mexico-based truck driver Kristen Andrews for damages to the building and possible DUI, according to a news release from police. Police say the Walmart is closed until further notice for investigations into the incident. And the mayor of Nogales says, early this morning, Walmart was vandalized by a tractor trailer and damaged the exterior wall. Out of extreme precaution, the local store manager, Jim Grow, has made the difficult choice to close the store. He extends his most sincere apologies for making this difficult decision, but because of safety reasons and out of extreme concerns, the store will remain closed. My office will continue to speak to Jim and his team and inform our community as to when the store will reopen. We trust that Jim and the Walmart team will do their best to reopen our hometown Walmart. Well, that just sucks for them, huh? No, I'm glad that nobody was hurt. And if the guy was driving, then, you know, that's just, or drinking and driving, that just, I am sorry. I don't like it when anybody does that, whether you are driving a big truck or not. And we know, we all have. We've all went out to dinner or something, had a glass of wine or, you know, beer or whatever, and you figure, okay, I had one, I'm good, I'll drive home. And 9 times out of 10, everything might just go fine. You might not have any problems, but there's that one time that you have a problem. So just keep that, you know, in the back of your mind that something can happen. It might not. You may get lucky and never happen, but there's always that first time. Okay, here's one I wanted to see. Okay, let me see if it comes up. There we go. It
says trucker, or police states, trucker dead after crash with illegally parked semi-truck. A truck driver is dead after colliding with another semi-truck parked on Interstate 81 in Pennsylvania on Wednesday morning. The accident happened on June 1st at around 4:30 a.m. near East Pennsboro Township. According to NBC4 News, the tractor trailer was driving south on I-81 near mile marker 64 when it failed to negotiate a curve in the road and struck another rig parked along the roadway. The southbound truck then struck a light pole and overturned before skidding to a stop in the roadway. The parked truck also skidded as a result of the crash and came to rest along the right shoulder of the interstate. The driver of the southbound truck was taken to a nearby hospital where he was pronounced dead. The driver of the parked truck was not hurt. Both trucks were towed from the scene. Pennsylvania State Police say that no charges have been filed in the incident as the crash still remains under investigation. Officers do say that the stopped truck was parked illegally. Yeah, if you're stopped on the side of the road for no reason, you don't have your, you know, triangles out and properly placed where they're supposed to be, then yeah, you're illegally parked. You know, and we know all, everybody gets, you know, now with the 30-minute break that you have to take, if you don't have somewhere safe to park, what's the next thing you're going to do? Because you're going to get a violation if you don't park and do something. So with the 30-minute break, if you can't find somewhere safely to park, is it really safe to park alongside the road? Or is it better if you, you know, run over that 30 minutes and, you know, deal with the consequences later to get to a safe area? Because you know your company is still going to tell you, well, you should have planned your trip better. But with that trip, if you got stuck out there, so you got, you know, whatever the case may be, you didn't plan your trip. Okay, we know this because you were parked illegally on the side of the road. But with that, you should have been able, you know, lights on, anything. But that driver that was driving the truck that ultimately, I believe he said, you know, the driver of the truck that rear-ended the other one, you know, was, you know, misjudged the curve, but unfortunately, you know, he didn't survive. So how are they going to charge the only person that they have there now that they can charge for any type of, you know, charges to be filed on would be the driver that that survived, that was in the truck that was parked. But you know what, unfortunately the driver died, but what a wake-up call literally for the guy in the truck. Can you imagine getting hit and getting thrown out of the truck when you're sleeping? More than likely. Then again, he could have been sitting in the truck. We don't know, nor will we ever know. Okay. So, let's see. I am looking. Oh, here's that one I told you guys about. The driver who smashed Bob's tail through boyfriend's mobile home also attacked his ex-girlfriend, please say. The truck driver responsible for smashing her bobtail rig through her boyfriend's mobile home in Alabama earlier this week also went after his ex-girlfriend, police say. 56-year-old Rhonda Young was arrested on May 30th in Piedmont after crashing her bobtail truck through the front of her boyfriend's mobile home. She is currently in Calhoun County Jail on $53,000 bond and has a preliminary hearing date set for June 27th. According to WEIS News, Young got into a fight with March Garrett at his home and left the scene in her international truck. She soon returned to the mobile home where Garrett was standing on the porch and smashed her truck through the front door. Garrett suffered injuries to his leg and ankle in the incident. Garrett's stepdaughter and step-granddaughter were inside of the mobile home at the time of the crash. The stepdaughter called her mother, apparently Garrett's ex-wife or girlfriend, who lived a short distance away, to tell her about the incident. The ex-wife soon arrived on the scene to check on her daughter, and that's when Young came at her. Young allegedly grabbed the ex-wife by the throat, and the two fought, leaving Young with a black eye, seen in her mugshot.
and she is currently facing charges of attempted murder and 2 counts of attempted assault. Well, you know, and knowing that there was kids in the house, and you still do something like that? I don't even know what to say about it. That's just like totally just wow. Okay. Here's one for you. And it's not talking about wrecks or anything else. It's talking about these people wanting more money from us. All right. For all you guys that are on the Indiana Toll Road, here we go. Now, we all know that the Indiana Toll Road should have been paid for because the toll roads were put in for one reason only, to get, you know, from point A to point B, and the tolls were to pay for the road while it was being constructed. Okay. Well, expect to pay more on the Indiana Toll Road starting July 1st. Drivers can expect to pay about 9% more in tolls on the Indiana Toll Road starting the next month. Effective on July 1st, 2022, the Indiana Toll Road Commission Company will increase rates by more than 9% for passenger and commercial vehicle drivers. Truck drivers who currently pay $66.30, I remember when it was like $12.10 to go from Ohio to, well, we'd always get off out there in Gary, but still from the High Line to the Gary Line. It's like, really? And now it's $66.30 for an end-to-end trip? Well, now you're going to be paying $72.88, according to officials. The IRTCC is required by a lease agreement with the state officials to complete infrastructure improvements on the Indiana Toll Road. The group says that they have invested nearly $600 million in infrastructure upgrades since 2016. And it gives you a... It says, see the table below for the new toll rates. So, big trucks. Okay. I believe you guys are considered a class 5. Well, yeah, $72.88. If you're a class 6 vehicle with the more axles, you're going to be $85.42. And if you're a class 7, $158.83. That is just totally absurd. You know, and it's just another way to get more money. All about the money. Always wanting money. Okay. I keep hearing doors and alarms being set outside. Okay, I don't even know what to talk about, guys. Oh, here's one, and I don't know who to feel more sorry for. The driver extricated after overturned rig scatters chickens. A truck driver had to be rescued from a wrecked rig in Tennessee on Tuesday after overturning on Interstate 24. The incident happened on May 31st. Near Lookout Valley, Valley, Tennessee. According to News 12 Now, the semi-truck clipped the guardrail and flipped over into the median, freeing and injuring its load of chickens. The majority of the chickens were killed in the wreck, and the driver was trapped inside the cab. The extent of the driver's injuries are unclear. Traffic was backed up from the ridge cut to pass the I-59 intersection as crews work to clean up the mess. I-24 is expected to remain closed for hours for the chicken crash cleanup, as well as the cleanup of the burned motorhome fire just a few miles down the highway. Well, that is made for, you know, one heck of a road, huh? First, chickens get scattered all over, and there was, in the medium, there is all the chicken crates because that's where they all flipped to. And, you know, all you see is sea of white, and it's all chickens. Okay, so with that being said, we're going to take a quick minute to talk about one of our great sponsors, and that is LTR Transportation.
This week's episode is sponsored by LTR Transportation. Come be part of a great carrier celebrating a new year with new trucks and new growth. Check them out at ltrtransportation.com or give them a call at 720-277-0030. Thank you, LTR, for being supporter of Redneckinize. Redneckinize, common sense solutions for an uncommon world.
And I do want to say thank you to LTR because they have been a great supporter of us. And we'd love to be working with them again in the future because, as you all know, we've talked about it many times on this show, on the other shows. We are in the process of working and putting a truck show together for ourselves in Canfield, Ohio, in July of 2024. So be prepared because there's going to be more and more coming. It's still all in the planning stages. So putting something together like this, a big, big step. So just one day at a time. That's all I can do for now. Okay, so let's see what else here. Because it's coming down. I mean, we've been on, I know I came in on a little bit later days, so we've been on for a half hour. And so far, you know, it's been quiet. I've been sitting here looking and talking about stuff and reading through different articles. And, you know, y'all know I hate to read through stuff because it doesn't, you know, get me talking to you and being one-on-one with you. So if you're on Facebook Live, and we do have, I see one watcher on there, so let us know who you are so we know. We want to reach out and talk to you guys. So, and don't get me wrong, I love that you guys are on Facebook Live and you're sitting there and you're listening to us and watching, you know, me make a fool out of myself on here sometimes because, you know, we have our cats that want to walk across the desk and I'm constantly looking out the window because I'm a nosy person. See, I said it. But we want to know who's on with us. We want to talk to you guys. So don't be afraid. I know a lot of people don't want to get on the radio, but, you know, all you hear is your voice. You don't have to see and look at, you know, have anybody look at you. So if you don't, if you're camera shy, that's fine. Come on to the radio because you're going to be talking to me. Yes, people are going to be listening to you, but the only way they're going to talk to you is when they call in too. And we don't get that much anymore. So don't be afraid. Call in. Talk to me. Hang out with me. And just, you know, let us know that you're there. Oh, thanks, Jen. She's telling me that the video is skipping some. I think it's because of the weather. Yeah, it probably is. Jen is a good friend of ours. Her mom and dad are awesome people, and her brother drives truck also. And Jen actually used to run a dump truck and toss snow. So she's been out here, mostly just here around home, but still. It doesn't matter. She's still one of us. Okay. So I'm assuming Jen's the one that's watching this on live, so that's a good thing. At least she can give me a little bit of a pointer of what I'm doing. She says I'm doing great. So, but like I said, she's my friend. She's going to tell me that. At least I hope she's going to tell me that. So anyways, if you all are out there and you want to call in and talk with us, the number to call in is 515-602-9731 and just hit option 1 to be part of the conversation. And like I said, if you don't want to be part of the conversation and you're driving and you can't watch us live on Facebook, hey, again, call in. You don't have to talk. You can listen. So let's see. Okay, here's one. This is a good pick-me-up. All right, it says, Washington troopers team up with trucking company to try to bring missing girl home. That's great. I like to see stuff like this. And it's just like when it comes to Truckers Against Trafficking, that is a great program. I do feel that because we all know a lot of this stuff happens, and we have seen it right here, not so much in our hometowns, but just north of us in Youngstown, because I-80 runs through there, and there's a lot of, you know, stuff like that that goes on. And we have seen a lot of cops and stings and that go on with, you know, people that have been caught. Mostly, I can't say it's actually just trafficking, but it's to that extent also. But
I like seeing when they are out there and they're trying to bring these girls home, because it does happen a lot more than what most people want to, you know, admit to or actually say, yeah, this is what's probably going on with my daughter or my granddaughter or my sister or my mother, whatever. So, excuse me. Okay, the Washington State Patrol recently unveiled two new semi-trailers as part of their Homeward Bound program to bring missing people home. Now, this trailer, it says, please help me find Michaela Bali. It has three pictures of her and a phone number, 1-800-THE-LOST. Okay. On May 25th, the Washington State Patrol, in partnership with Camway Transportation and the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, debuted two new Homeward Bound semi-trailers in Blaine, Washington, near the Canadian border. The trailers features photos and information about Michaela Bali, who vanished at age 16 from Saskatchewan Transportation Company Bus Depot in Yorkton, Saskatchewan, in April of 2016. Whew. I'm kind of giving us a few more years there, aren't I? Since Bali went missing, many tips and sightings have been reported, including in Washington, according to the Washington State Police. The Homeward Bound program is intended to raise public awareness about missing persons and to provide law enforcement with tips that could bring missing people home to their loved ones. Camway Transportation has been part of the Homeward Bound program since 2018. There is a $100,000 reward for Bali's safe return. Anyone with information, please call the 1-800-LOST. You can see video of the unveiling of the two new Homeward Bound trailers below, which unfortunately you can go to YouTube and look that up as WSP Homeward Bound event. And that was dated for May 25th. Okay. So that's nice that they're doing that and it's getting out, because, you know, truckers are up and down the interstate all day long, every day, all week, all year. So they see a lot more things out there, you know. They may never see that girl in person, you know, but they could be driving down the road and look at a car or look down and say, man, that girl looks really familiar. Where'd I see her from? And then it pops in their head, wait a minute, she's missing. And they can, you know, call somebody, call the local police even, you know. So that's just something we got to, you know, always be aware of. We've talked about it before. We need to always be aware of our surroundings and everything that goes on. But there's always that chance that you might be the first one to see a person that is missing. That's why I love the fact that with the cell phones, the Amber Alerts, you know, unfortunately, you can opt out of those, but why would you? But you can do that. But to do those, you know, it is great because they give the description. And you see it on a lot of the billboards in some of the bigger cities, that the automated billboards, and it states right on there that, you know, it gives the license number, the description, and if they have pictures, they'll pop them on there. And the same thing with your Amber Alerts on your phone. It comes through that way too. So those are good because it is, you know, quick responses to get out and, you know, better chances at finding the person that is missing. It might not always be just a child that's missing. It could be an elderly adult that has dementia or Alzheimer's and walked out of the house. They were going out, a little thing is going to the mailbox, and they walk out the door, and then next thing you know, they forget where they were going and they turn and start walking up the street. You know, a good example of that is my great aunt here a couple of years ago now, well, about a year or so, oh, maybe two. She wanted to go to church. And she lived right beside her one daughter. Her eldest daughter lived with her in the house, which took care of her. And her middle daughter lived next to her. So my cousin's like, all right, Mom, you know, if you're ready to go to church, you know, they're not ready yet. You still have a little while. And she's like, I'll just go over and sit on the porch. I'm like, okay. So my cousin stood there and watched her walk across the field to my other cousin's house.
So one thing led to another. My cousin went in and called her sister and said, hey, mom's on her, you know, she's there. She's waiting to go to church. She's on the porch. Okay. Well, my other cousin came out to see where she was, you know, maybe a couple minutes later. I don't know. I don't know the time frame for sure. But went to look for her, and she was gone. Okay. My aunt had lived on this road for probably 50 years, 55, maybe 60 years. I don't even know for sure. And her in-laws lived just a few houses up too. So even her, you know, her husband, my uncle that had passed away a few years ago, he grew up there. So it's like everybody on that road kind of knows everybody. It has grown up some, but still they know everybody. Well, another neighbor was driving down the road and seen her. And she, you know, either he stopped, I'm not sure if he stopped and asked her, what are you doing? And she's like, I'm waiting for my ride for church. And, you know, he offered to take her to church, or she may have asked him to take her to church. I'm not exactly sure. You know, I just know she just disappeared. And then they got a call from the church because, of course, my aunt was early. The church called my cousin and said, hey, your mom is here. You know, so now it's a panic because how'd she get there? And then to find out, you know, a neighbor ended up taking her there. Instead of the neighbor going back to the house and saying, hey, you know, your mom's staying out here and she's ready to go to church, I'm going to go ahead and take her up there. No, that wasn't the case. But it wasn't long after that that my aunt, unfortunately, they ended up putting her into a more controlled environment for her, which my grandmother goes and sees her. They usually go every week to see her. So she seems to be doing okay, but she's not my aunt that I know, you know. But she's still, of course, she's still my aunt. But if you've ever dealt with people that's went through dementia or Alzheimer's or even sundowners, it's not an easy thing to deal with. It's hard. And if the person lives with you, it's even harder, you know. So when I see these family members put in their family, and I have to say, you know, my family did it, you know, putting them in a home, I don't want to get upset because, you know, how could you do that to your parent? Because of the fact I know how hard it is to deal with somebody in that situation. And that's how it is right now. Unless you have an area, because my cousin at the time, she was still working a full-time job. So she wasn't there all day long to take care of her. And then when she finally did retire, she was there. And then my aunt wouldn't sleep. She was up and down, waking my cousin up and telling her, well, we got to get the kids ready for school and this and that. And, you know, looking for dogs that they didn't have. And so it was hard. I mean, she had to take all the knobs off of the stove because she was afraid she was going to, you know, burn the house down in the middle of the night or something. So, I mean, it's hard to deal with somebody that has Alzheimer's or dementia. Like I said, even sundowners. Donna that lived here with us, they kept saying she had the onsets of, you know, dementia. Okay. I could see that. Little things that she would do, I could see that. But it wasn't until close to the end that Donna started showing more and more progression towards the sundowners. And sundowners, if you don't know, it literally is just how it sounds. When the sun starts going down, they start getting lucid and, you know, not quite all there. So it was rough with her. I had to deal with that. I mean, we had a baby gate across her bedroom door. And her bedroom was literally right above here. So if I was down here working during the day and she wasn't up yet, I could hear her when she got up because the floor squeaks. And the fact that her walker. So with that, we ended up one night I found her with her foot stuck in her walker and she fell in her room. And long story short, I went from a little short baby gate to a 5 or 4 foot walkthrough baby gate to keep her in the room because I was afraid she'd walk and fall down our steps. But anyway, so, I mean, it's the daily living with somebody with, you know, those type of things that has pushed people to have the Amber Alerts. I mean, that's the best thing, like I said, that's the best thing they could have done, is have stuff like that, that you could actually call when an alert like that. Call your local, yes, Jen, you're right. It is difficult to decide what's best for your family and to keep them safe. And I know, you know, you and your mom have been going through a lot with your dad, so it is hard to make those decisions. But it comes down to the well-being of yourself, your family member, and your loved one that is in a hard situation, such as, you know, dementia, Alzheimer's, sundowners, because you want what's best for them, but you want to also make sure that they're safe. And, you know, I always vowed I'd never put anybody in a nursing home, whether it be my parents, Greg's parents, or even, you know, came down to even Donna. I said, you will not be stuck in a nursing home. So, I mean, she was in and out all the time, but it was mostly just for rehab. It wasn't for a permanent fix. So it is hard to make those decisions. And it's hard to make decisions in any part of your life anymore. It doesn't matter, you know, what the case may be. If you're making a decision whether or not you need to go to the store and buy milk and bread or pay your gas bill or electric bill for the month, you know, so with prices of everything going up, then it does make it hard, especially when we see that toll prices are going up, but freight prices are not. So, okay. Let's see. It seems like every time I sit down here and start doing this, I want to cry. Yeah. Start yawning. All right. So, tell me, guys, about your weekend. How was your weekend? Did you have a picnic or anything with your family and friends? We had a little get-together here with, you know, family and, yeah, mostly all family. We had a couple friends. But tell me, how was it? Did you actually remember the reason for the picnic or for the get-together? Did you take in it in the part that it was, you know, for all of those service men and women that we lost over the years to make sure we were able to have the stuff we have now, the freedoms that we have and stuff like that. So, and then that's what I told you guys last week, to just kind of remember that part of it and think of that and think of the reason that we were having it. So, okay, let's see. I'm looking to see if we have anything else here. Okay. I'm going to talk about this, and I'm thinking we might not. This is, I was just looking. I wanted to tell what this driver was. So the driver pleads no contest to felony charges in a 74-mile-per-hour crash with a trooper. A truck driver has pleaded no contest to felony charges related to a high-speed crash into a police cruiser in Michigan last month. The accident happened on April 8th in Paw Paw, Michigan, but the driver pleaded guilty this week. According to News Channel 3, 24 years old, Easton Nordy Vardick was going 74 miles an hour in a 65 mile per hour zone on Interstate 94 when he struck a stopped, ready for this, police vehicle, which was responding to a previous wreck. Nordy Vardick suffered minor injuries in the crash. Officer Cal Knopp sustained a concussion, cuts, and bruises. Nordy Vardick has since pleaded no contest to reckless driving causing serious impairment of a body function and failing to use due care when passing stationary emergency vehicles. His sentencing date is July 25th. 24 years old, and this kid looks like he's not a day over 18. So, again, here we come right back to the part of, you know, talking about the younger kids in the trucks. Definitely not something that we need. They want to put 18-year-olds in the truck, and it's like, why? Because 18-year-olds, you know, they're not stable enough or I don't want to say stable enough, but mentally capacity the mental capacity of an 18-year-old to be in a truck. I don't feel that it's safe for anybody because, you know, you're 18 years old, you're just getting out of high school and, you know, you're doing all kinds of crazy stuff. And now you're getting a chance to be in a semi and drive truck and, you know, and what are you going to do? You're going to be out there showing off to people. Look at me, I'm driving a big truck and I'm this age and it's not safe. So that's my thoughts on it. So I don't want to say it's a good or bad thought. That's just literally that is my thought on it. So, all right, everyone. I know this is what I do. Whoops, I hit a button. Okay, so what I'm going to say now is very simple. It's 8:30. The storm looks like it has passed some here, but I'm actually just going to call it quits for tonight. I don't know. Our radio shows were doing very well. They're kind of slacking off, and we're not getting the response that we're looking for, at least that I'm looking for personally. But don't get me wrong. If you can't watch the video or you don't have time to watch the video, you can watch a replay, or you can go back and still download or log onto or look up Blog Talk Radio Studios or Unplugged Radio Network and pull up and look up Redneck and I's Radio. And you can actually go back and listen to all of our stations or all of our podcasts, whatever you want to call it, and listen to all of them. So we advise you guys to do that. I am going to see about getting a couple special guests on next week. So I will definitely keep you guys apprised on that. I got to reach out to a couple people. So I'm hoping I can get them on, and that way we can talk to them. And I'm going to try maybe even next week doing our Zoom and live again on Facebook, and hopefully I can get it worked out to where it actually goes to our Redneck and I's page and not my personal page. Because I like to get our guests that I'm looking to get to come on and actually, you know, talk about their business and, you know, put a face behind those names. So, with all that being said, it's 8:30 here in East Liverpool, Ohio, and it is, 79 degrees. I had to lean back from the thing because I took, you know, glasses on the head, and it's muggy. It is really muggy out tonight. It was even worse this morning when I first got up, but we still have rain, and my garden definitely needs it. You know, I watered it some yesterday, but it just wasn't enough. Didn't want to run, you know, too long, and especially with us getting rain today. So anyways, so with that, I'm going to kind of close it off tonight. And I just want to talk, you know, put this out where about DPF Regeneration, one of our good sponsors, and Ms. Hattie Jane Rollins has been with us since, I believe it's like 2016. She's been a great supporter of Redneck and I. She's a great supporter of a lot of drivers in the industry and a lot of promoters, and she'll help just about anybody. We love her dearly. She is, like I said, she's a great person. So if you need any type of particular filters clean, taken care of, or you need any OEM parts that you might not be able to get, I had a paper here somewhere, might not be able to get right away, give her a call. I had her number written down. This is how my day goes. So, let's see. It's on here. So, we're going
to
play her ad real quick.
We'd like to thank one of our supporters, DPF Regeneration. The folks at DPF Regeneration have always looked out for truckers. Today's technology in big trucks has gotten more and more complicated, especially when it comes to those particulate filters. DPF filters need to be serviced, cleaned, and sometimes replaced. And DPF Regeneration handles it all. They have the knowledge, the network, and the inventory to get what truckers need to stay out on the road making money. Give them a holler at 800-634-3010 or check them out at www.webakem.com. Plain and simple, DPF Regeneration.
Okay, so that was from Ms. Hattie Jane Rollins with DPF Regeneration. So I want to just bring the whole show to a close here directly. And I just want to say appreciate everybody who has come on Facebook Live, Jen, and I see Rob Bynum's on watching tonight, and your comments. It means a lot to know that somebody, you know, you guys are out there keeping an eye on watching and listening to me ramble
because you all know I could do a good rambling job. So we're going to close out tonight. And just to remember, as in Holly's first post that I read at the beginning of the show, life is short. You never know what will happen next. So hold your loved ones close. Give them all hugs. Tell them you love them every day, because there might not be a tomorrow for you or them. So I know I brought us down on a very low note. It's okay, because all of us here at Redneck and I care about all of you guys out there. And if you ever need to reach out to any of us, you can reach out to us on here. You can send us a private message via Redneck and I, or you can send us an email. Check out our website. And, you know, we do have an online store. It's a little bit low stock right now because, you know, with the truck show, we did sell a lot of stuff at Matt's, and we just haven't restocked. So if there's certain things that you want, we have decals, and they're awesome decals. So reach out to us. Check out our store. And that is at www.redneckandeyes.com. Okay? So, and that is REDNECKANIZE. So check us out. And we look forward to talking to you guys all again next week at 7 p.m. Eastern. And next week we will definitely be for a full 2 hours. Like I said, I'm hoping to get some special guests on, because we do have another one that we have used. You too, Jen. Thank you for coming on and listening to me jibber jabber. And tell your mom and dad I said hi. I need to get with them soon. So we're going to bring it to a close. So all of you out there on Facebook and all of you on the radio, have a great night. Stay safe. And if it's storming where you are, just remember, keep it between the ditches and the shiny side up. All right, y'all. Have a good night, and we'll see you next week, 7 p.m. Eastern, right here, right now, listening. And don't forget, we do have Ed on Thursday night and Friday night and Sunday night. So hopefully y'all can jump on. We'll see y'all soon. Bye.